The trip around the NFC North on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan takes you to Detroit for a look at the Lions with Jamie Samuelson of 97.1 The Ticket and the Detroit Free Press. Follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Samuelson.
Jamie, how are you doing today?
I am well, guys. How are you?
Doing excellent. Doing better maybe than Brandon Pettigrew, who said that he wanted to still play this year. Boy, crazy, first of all, that it's been 8 years for Pettigrew. But the other thing, just you thought, a guy who Packer fans, I think, kind of always admired a little bit from afar, but he had his problems too, and I don't know if he ever realized that potential. Could be done as a Lion.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing. He actually came in the exact same draft class as Matthew Stafford, a first-round pick later on in the first round, and a lot of people were surprised to see him go as high as he did. He's kind of had an enigmatic career. He's a very good blocker. He made unbelievable catches at times. He also dropped what appeared to be easy catches at times. But, you know, just a good all-around tight end. And, yeah, it's kind of sad to see it end. I think he's a guy who I probably could have had a better career if the drops hadn't been there and if he could have stayed on the field a little bit more. I mean, the injuries plagued him his entire time as well. There's no doubt about that.
Jamie, speaking of injuries, a couple guys going to the injured reserve, cornerback Quandre Diggs with the torn pectoral and defensive end Armani Bryant. So both their seasons are done. But I've been reading some reports that Diggs wasn't playing well at all pretty much all season. Are they going to miss these guys?
I think they will. I think you're right. I think they're going to miss Bryant more than they're going to miss Diggs. I think one of the real underrated reasons why the Lions are 8-4 so far this year has been the depth of their roster. They really have been getting contributions from guys that they maybe haven't had in years past. And I think Bryant was one of them. I mean, again, I've highlighted this. I can't stress this enough. Zero sacks for Ziggy Ansah. I mean, the emergence of a guy like Kerry Hyder, who's their leading sack guy, has been huge. But it's been guys like Bryant as well along the defensive line. A'shaun Robinson, the first-year player out of Alabama. You know, guys, the second-tier guys who have been making contributions along the D-line. So they'll be missed. As far as Diggs, yeah, I mean, he had not had a great year. But I just think, you know, I always view defensive back, particularly cornerback, as such a revolving door in the NFL because it's so prone to injury that any depth you lose, I think, is a bit of a blow as you head down the stretch of the season.
That's Jamie Samuelson, 97.1 The Ticket, our Lions expert here on our trip around the NFC North. We do it each and every Wednesday. I got to tell you, the perception of the Lions going into the 28-13 win over the Saints and coming out of it, at least nationally, I can't imagine 3 hours and change making that big a difference, because to me they're kind of pretty much the same Lions. But people now are saying, hey, I'm believing in the Lions. I'm buying the Lions and all that. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, I think what it was their ability or their defense, Chris, to shut down an elite quarterback. And say what you will about Drew Brees and his age, but, I mean, you look at the stats, and that's the number one passing offense in the NFL, and Brees is the number one passer in the NFL based on yardage and completion percentage. And the Lions had struggled. I mean, they struggled against some of the lesser quarterbacks. Case Keenum had a career day against the Lions. Sam Bradford didn't pass for a ton of yards, but his completion percentage was scary on Thanksgiving Day. And so I think the perception was the defense would just get carved up by Drew Brees. But the defense had a really good game plan. They frustrated Brees. He missed some passes. Secondary played a great game. Glover Quinn had a pick and another bat ball that he knocked away, which would have been a deep completion. And, you know, they basically were the better team from start to finish. And that's the one thing they really hadn't done this year, the famous stat about playing from behind. Well, this was the first game all year they didn't play from behind. And while the Saints are maybe not a playoff team, they were a playoff contender, and they usually play well at home. So to go in the way they did, and to really, you know, they were a touchdown underdog in a lot of places before that game started. And to win going away the way they did, I think, is what impressed people. Now, and I don't know if I'm stealing a question here, the scary part for the Lions does immediately become the Green Bay Packers, because if you look at the remainder of the schedule, the Lions have the Bears this Sunday, and then they go to New York and go to Dallas. And if you go by, you know, the betting lines, the Lions will be underdogs in both those road games. So if they go 1-2, even if Green Bay somehow loses to Seattle, they will have winnable games coming up against Minnesota and Chicago. That New Year's Day game is just looming very large in this divisional race, I think.
That's Jamie Samuelson, our Lions expert. News coming down to the start and center, Travis Swanson, dealing with the concussion protocol, and he has not missed a snap all season. A very, very good player. Just your thoughts on him.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary one because obviously you don't know the degree of the concussion. You don't know exactly when it happened during the game. And it was a bit of a surprise to see him not practicing today. He's been very durable. I mean, I've talked about the offensive line and how they've kind of exceeded expectations. And I've kind of keyed on that left side of the line with Taylor Decker and Graham Glasgow. But really Travis Swanson has been a bit of a revelation for the Lions this year. If you go by some of the advanced metrics, how they grade out positions last year in his first year as a starter, he was one of the worst centers in all of football. And this year at times he's been one of the best. So it's a significant blow if they don't have him. I would think the obvious move would be to put Glasgow in at center. He was a center at Michigan and moved to guard, this year in replacing the struggling Laken Tomlinson. And then Tomlinson would probably start at the left guard, but, you know, obviously more is to be determined on that position as we go ahead here.
Jamie, the Lions need another injury at running back like the Packers need another injury at linebacker. They're just decimated at that position right now. Theo Riddick did not practice today, ankle injury. Dwayne Washington has an ankle injury of his own. He did practice. Amir Abdullah already out. Jamie, this is not the time for Theo Riddick to miss a game, I'm just saying. So what's going on here?
Now, are you saying that as a fan of the NFC North, Marcus, or a fantasy football owner?
Yes.
Yes, okay. It's funny, on the injury report, the practice report for the Lions today, Theo Riddick is actually listed as having a wrist injury. Mm. His ankle has been bothering him as well. I have a feeling this is just housekeeping, this is just maintenance, and he will play. The move the Lions did make yesterday, which raised some eyebrows around these parts, was to bring back Joyce Bell, who had been with the Lions for, you know, 3 or 4 years, about, you know, from, I want to say, all the way up until last year, so probably 2012, 2015. A Detroit kid, played at Wayne State, which is a small school here in downtown Detroit, worked security at Super Bowl 40 when they had the Super Bowl at Ford Field. So kind of a nice local story. And he parlayed that into a pretty big contract with the Lions. But again, with him, injuries, durability, he's a good, hard runner. So I viewed that as kind of a depth move, but I viewed it more as a depth move for Washington, who got hurt in Sunday's game, not for Theo Riddick. Mm-hmm. They also did cut Justin Forsett, the old running back from the Ravens, who they'd kind of quietly signed earlier this year. So I say all that, Marcus, to say I expect Riddick to play. I don't know how serious this wrist injury is, but it just strikes me as one of the things where I expect him to be out there.
Thank you.
You know, Jamie, it seems like that collision course is going to happen with Lions and Packers in the season finale. Looking at between now and then, though, obviously this week you would think that the Bears are going to take, do their role and the Lions will take care of business in a big way there. 8-point favorites, my goodness. But what about the Packers and the Seahawks? Your thought on Green Bay at home? People around here think if you lose to Seattle, and I know the mathematics still work out where you could end up having a shot in that finale, boy, that seems like it would take a lot of the life out of you, kind of a kick in the gut if you lose to Seattle here. But how do you see this game playing out?
I think it's really interesting. I mean, I like many, am curious to see how Seattle is without Earl Thomas. I mean, remember last year they started without Cam Chancellor, and, you know, those are the two kind of unsung safeties in that. Richard Sherman gets so much attention, as justifiable as it is. You know, I think Chancellor and Thomas are so big for them. So to lose Thomas for the rest of the year, I think it's going to be a big loss. I don't know. I do think there's going to be a little bit of an edge to the Packers. You know, obviously there have been some battles, and it's a great rivalry, but it seems like a lot of the battles have gone Seattle's way. And, you know, in this type of setting at Lambeau, in what could be, you know, I'm an Aaron Rodgers owner, so I've been looking at the weather forecast in Seattle to see what that's going to be like. And if the elements come into it at all, then maybe that would favor, you know, a running team like Seattle more so than it would Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense. But I don't know. I just have a feeling they can get some of that Lambeau magic going and then maybe take out, Seattle, depending on what the weather's like. But honestly, I would encourage Packer fans to look at history and look at the Lions' history. And I just don't think it's going to be this easy for Detroit. I don't think, in a way, it's almost like it shouldn't be this easy. It's like the Red Sox going down 3-0 to the Yankees. I feel like for the Lions to really do this, they almost do have to slay that beast that final Sunday of the year, January 1st. So, again, at New York in a huge game for the Giants. The only question I think for the Packers is how much is Dallas going to have to play for on the night after Thanksgiving or night after Christmas, December 26th. And let's just say Green Bay wins this Sunday and Dallas wins. Dallas clinches the NFC. So they might, I know Jerry Jones said they wouldn't be resting guys, but we could be seeing Tony Romo in that game. which may or may not be a good thing for the Cowboys. So I don't know. If I had to bet, guys, I still think that that New Year's Day game is going to be something big.
Yeah, I was going to say, having Tony Romo there, though, is not necessarily a, getting a break either, especially a guy who's pretty motivated. We got to get to a break. Hey, Jamie, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. Look forward to visiting with you next week. This thing is interesting. Talking to you from bottom to top. Unbelievable, the Lions, man. We've been through it all.
Yeah,
with you.
It's one of the bigger surprises in football, for sure. Thanks, guys. Good talking. You have a good week.
Take care. Jamie Samuels in 97.1 The Ticket, our Lions expert. Nick Shepkowski, 670 The Score. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Am I talking Walking Dead? I'm talking Bears-Lions? Yeah, talking probably a little bit of both there, I think.
I played better than Colin Kaepernick played last week against the Bears.
There you go. Back after these messages, Nick Shepkowski, 670 The Score here on The Fan.
The trip around the NFC North on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan goes down to Chicago to get the latest on the Bears with Nick Shepkowski of 670 The Score in the Windy City. Follow Nick on Twitter at Shep670.
Nick, how are you today, man?
Cannot complain. How about you guys?
Doing excellent. Hey, are you an early Christmas shopper, or are you like one of these last-minute guys, I'm guessing?
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. I'll probably start to look over things the 22nd, the 23rd, get after it the night of the 23rd, and
nice.
Hopefully get it done by about noon or so on the 24th.
Kind of like the Bears personnel department.
Oh, God. Oh, I thought you guys were calling because Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are selling everything that belongs to the White Sox off. I didn't know you wanted to talk about the garbage that was Sunday afternoon in Soldier Field.
How about Wade Davis? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I could do that. I mean, new closer for the World Series champ. That's something to get excited about. Talk about all that. I mean, Wade Davis, just one less completion than Colin Kaepernick, I guess. I mean, that's not fair, but one less completion than him last weekend. So
did you.
Yeah, exactly. All of us combined.
Yeah, pretty impressive stuff. Hey, on the bright side, John Fox going to get a third season, a third go-round as head coach, according to the Chicago Tribune. Are you surprised at all at that news that they're giving Fox another year?
Not terribly. With Fox, it's kind of been, and trust me, John Fox, when you hear about John Fox and you hear about the hiring of him a couple of years ago, and the excitement, well, he took the Panthers to a Super Bowl appearance with Jake Del Homo, of all guys, as his quarterback. He took the Broncos to the Super Bowl. Hell, he won a playoff game with Tim Tebow as his quarterback when he was in Denver. You hear all these great things about him. But I will give him the benefit of the doubt on, yes, he inherited a team that is just deprived of talent. And part of the reason why I thought that if they won anything more than four or five games this year, it'd be a minor miracle, and it seems like they're headed that way. But with that said, it was a disaster of what he inherited, what Phil Emery left him, what heck, the last days of Jerry Angelo left him to kind of inherit there. So it's a roster that doesn't have much whatsoever. Where you see the progress being made is on the defensive side of the football. Leonard Floyd, another big game. He's leading all rookies in sacks right now. He's turned into quite the player. And that's he's leading all rookies in sacks despite missing two and a half, three games this season for the Bears. So he's been a bright spot so far. You're seeing the defense be a bright spot. What I will say about John Fox that is concerning, what is a little bit alarming, and it should be for Bears fans, is that this report that came out last night that the Chicago Tribune had of John Fox and Vic Fangio not getting along. They hadn't worked together on the same staff before, but the idea that Fangio might be on his way out by the end of the season and looking for work elsewhere, that's concerning because you look at the Bears and you look why they've been in games that they've been in the last 2 years, it's solely because of a defense, and a defense that's been very undermanned.
You know, Nick, one of the things I liked about John Fox when he came in, I really believe that he knew who couldn't play because he cut from mm-hmm. players. I mean, there was so much work to be done that way. But after this much time, I'm not so sure if he knows who can play. I mean, that's kind of the problem. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to find players. It's, you know, a lot more people can identify who can't than who can, and Fox right now coming up short. I know it's a massive rebuild there, but is he going to be the guy? What's his claim to fame?
Well, here's the thing that's weird to me, is that you look at and you kind of knew, all right, he wanted guys that were going to be of a certain mental makeup and a certain kind of those team-type players. He said it from his opening press conference, and he kind of wanted to put that down. But you look at the talent that the Bears got rid of since John Fox stepped in, and you look at kind of the compensation that they got for it. Martellus Bennett, and I know he's battling an ankle injury this year with the Patriots, but I mean, when he's healthy, outside of Rob Gronkowski and maybe two or three other guys, he's as good as it gets tight end-wise in the league. You get, what, a fourth-round pick for that. was insistent on trading Brandon Marshall. And trust me, Brandon Marshall was not a fit with Jay Cutler anymore. It was time for him to move on. But just the compensation they got back for getting rid of some of these guys that still had talent, still had a lot to give in the NFL, was pretty surprising. And you haven't really seen that turn out and turn into talent at the NFL level. I mean, you look at Fox, and the things that excited me about him were one of the things that stuck out was his ability to hire coordinators. And you saw it with Adam Gase's first year here in Chicago. Gase goes and gets that Dolphins job, and I know they lost last week. But that's been a pretty good story so far, the Miami Dolphins, and what they've been able to do down there this season, a team that isn't on the verge of necessarily being in the playoffs, but they're knocking on the door of at least being in contention of playing into January this year. So Gase knows what he's doing. You've seen it through Fox's career, whether it's Jack Del Rio was a coordinator originally hired by him, Gase both in Denver and in Chicago. You've seen time and time again, a lot of his guys go on to get head coaching jobs. And so far in Chicago, Dowell Loggins has been a disaster of an offensive coordinator replacing Gase so far. And if he's not able to get along with Fangio enough, you force him out of there. I mean, you really take a lot of credibility, I think, of what John Fox has done in 2 years if those two have to separate their ways.
This is our trip around the NFC North, Chris and Marcus. That's Nick Schipkowski, 670 to score. At least look at it this way, Marcus. They didn't have to spend a whole lot for Josh Sitton. Got him cheap.
I guess that's good. Now, Nick, so Jay Cutler isn't playing, so it's hard to work in, you know, the Hills and Laguna Beach references with Kristen Cavallari, and that's kind of
depressing. Sure, but I trust that you're able to because you're a professional.
You know I'm going to work it in there. Matt Barkley is playing quarterback, and he was 11 of 18 for a buck 92 the other day. Is Kristen Cavallari going to leave Jay Cutler for Matt Barkley?
I don't know if his star power is enough or at least that his contracts are big enough right now. I mean, if he plays like this a couple more weeks and, heck, maybe part of next season and he gets a big extension or he gets a big deal, then maybe K-Cav will be a little more interested. That's when she started to, I think, fall in love with Jay was back then when he signed that big extension with the Bears. All of a sudden, then those two became an item. With Barkley, though, and trust me, it's time for change at quarterback in the city of Chicago. I know that. I firmly believe that. I'm just not sold that Matt Barkley through two games is that guy. He played well against the Titans a week ago. He played well in the second half against San Francisco this past week. But you look at it, you look down some of the advanced numbers on it, and those are two of the three worst pass defenses that you can go up against, both home games for him. And that's not to take any credit away from him. I mean, he's throwing to bums as receivers, guys that should be playing special teams if they should even be in the NFL right now. And that's who his targets are. That's who he's throwing to. And he's done a respectable job with that, so it's nothing to take away from him, but it's also kind of alarming to me when people want to, definitely the answer going forward. That's definitely the answer at quarterback. You find something here. Still going to see the rest of the season, see how that part plays out. I think more of Barkley than I did 2 weeks ago. I just don't think he's going to be the answer to any real problems necessarily just yet either.
K-Cav, J-Lo, who do you take in one shot? Elimination.
Oh, God, J-Lo, are you kidding me? That's not even a discussion.
What?
That's like a fine wine.
Yeah,
that's like a fine wine with J-Lo. Just gets better and better with
Shep, I opened the door and you didn't walk through it. I commend you, my friend.
Kristen Cavallari has grown up over the years, though. Gotta
I was
going to
say, though, she's not like she's nothing.
No, she's no Lauren Conrad, but...
Well, few are.
Well, who is?
Yeah.
Definitely,
exactly.
Yeah. MLC all the way.
Huh, so we can talk some more football. We talk Wade Davis and the Cubs, but actually I want to know what you think of the Seahawks and the Packers. Pretty big game Sunday at Lambeau Field, at least what they say anyway. If the Packers win, it's a big game. If they lose, you know, you can kind of start thinking about 2017.
I'm trying to figure out the Seahawks thing. The Packers thing is another thing I guess all of us are trying to kind of figure out, whether you're in Green Bay, Chicago, an NFC North city, or just a football city in general, kind of something that people are trying to figure out right now. Seattle, I think, if anyone's going to upset Dallas and knock off Dallas in the NFC, I think it's Seattle. But that's not to say they don't have huge offensive line questions. You saw that a couple weeks ago in that game they played down in Tampa Bay. They couldn't protect Russell Wilson to save his life, and they lost that game. So that part's a little bit concerning there. And then they go out and they play fantastic football. I know Carolina hasn't been the Panthers of last year, this year, but they look great on Sunday night. I think that Seattle, to me, that I think they're the most dangerous team in the NFC. If they get everything clicking, everything firing, I think that they're the most dangerous team. Are they the best team necessarily? I don't know, and Sunday will kind of go a decent way in giving us a better idea of that. But I like the Seahawks quite a bit in the NFC right now.
What are you thinking for Sunday? Is there any chance the Bears upset the Lions in Detroit? I'm trying not to laugh, but just, I don't know.
The thing, I guess the one thing I would say to that is that outside of last week when the Lions won by two touchdowns, and heck, I don't think the Saints scored their last score until the last minute, minute and a half of that game to make it look closer on the scoreboard than it really was. The one thing I will say to that is that Detroit just plays close games no matter who they play outside of that Saints game last week. And so that would be the one thing I look at and just say, okay, well, the Lions, of the, 12 games they've played this year, like 10 or 11 of them have been within 7 points. So by that theory, but the Bears going on the road. Barkley hasn't played on the road yet. You know, he came into the game in Green Bay, but he hasn't gone on the road for his start yet in his career. I tend to think that the Lions kind of roll in this one as well, but it's just a team that doesn't blow a whole heck of a lot of teams out so far this year. That said, the Bears are a prime candidate if you're looking for a blowout win.
Great stuff, Nick. Appreciate it, man. You take care.
All right, fellas. Take it easy.
All righty. That's Nick Shepkowski. 670 to score. Our Bears expert. We got to get to a break. Come back on the other side. Manny Hill, Vikings, 1500 ESPN. Adrian Peterson, is it common sense if you're not in the playoff hunt anymore not to come back, or is it selfish to only come back if you're in the playoff race?
It's common sense, in my opinion. Well, we've been eliminated, but I'm going to really run myself into the ground. I'm Adrian Peterson. No, I'm not.
Isn't that crazy? But people are taking up that side of the argument. Someone will find something to gripe about somebody. Back after these messages, more sports line here on The Fan.
I'm sick of it. There's no need. We know who the Vikings are.
The trip around the NFC North on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan. Heads up north to Minnesota to check in on the Vikings with Manny Hill of ESPN 1500 The Twin Cities. Follow Manny on Twitter at MannyHill84.
Manny, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Chris. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So we really don't have much choice. We go to work depending on how we feel. Doesn't really matter. Try to get there as much as we can all the time, whether the ratings are what they are. In Adrian Peterson's case, if they have a chance to get somewhere, he's coming back, trying to anyway, like crazy. What are the chances he can still make an impact on this crazy season?
Well, I guess according to him, it depends on if this team is in a position to still make the playoffs by the time he's ready to come back. But right now, you know, that's still sort of up in the air. I mean, if they find a way to win these, at least, you know, beat Jacksonville on Sunday and then come back home against Indianapolis and find a way to win that game too, then maybe, you know, he'll be in a position where he feels like, okay, well, we're in a playoff race, so maybe I can come back in these last two games against Green Bay and Chicago and, you know, maybe help this team get into the postseason. But I guess it's really going to depend on what they do on Sunday. If they lose to Jacksonville on Sunday, it puts them in a real tough spot to make the playoffs. And at that point, it doesn't look like there's really much of a point to put Adrian Peterson on the field for the rest of the season.
So Adrian Peterson may be coming back this year, but then you see the news, Harrison Smith may miss the remainder of the season. A grade 3 high ankle sprain means nothing to me until I read that a grade 3 high ankle sprain is the worst kind of sprained ankle that you can have. So that's not good news for Minnesota.
It's really not. He is sort of the straw that stirs the drink for that defense. I mean, by far their best defensive player. He does a fantastic job as a free safety, just sort of secondary. And coming up and making plays in the run game, and being a great cover guy too. Him not being in the lineup, you know, maybe against a team like Jacksonville this Sunday, they may not need him as much as they would probably need him against, you know, Indianapolis the next week, and then of course against Green Bay and Chicago the last couple of games. But you know, it's a big loss, and it doesn't look like he's going to be ready to go Sunday, and they'll try to make the best of it in his absence.
The Cowboys 17, the Vikings 15, and I could not believe it. Another call at the end, blowing. It reminded me of the Packers-Arizona playoff game, and Rodgers got his face mask yanked and no call. And Sam Bradford, I thought, was about as classy as you could be, given the, oh, I'd just be furious. But, you know, you want to undermine and erode the integrity of the league. I mean, the announcement that you're adding an official to every crew, I guess, somehow mitigates. But just talk about that. That had to be frustrating for Viking fans.
Well, especially when you find out that the official, you find out from Sam Bradford that the official basically told him, no, you didn't get hit in the mask. You didn't get hit in the face mask. I mean, that really set a lot of people off. But, you know, listen, they sort of put themselves in that position, you know, with the false start before You know, they get lined up at the 2-yard line, trying to get the 2-point conversion to tie the game, and then Jeremiah Searles gets called for a false start. They move back 5 yards. And really, if you look at that play, too, it looked like left tackle TJ Clemmings got away with a false start on the 2 that wasn't called. So from that standpoint, I mean, the fans don't really have too much of a gripe because it was basically 2 missed calls on the same play against both teams. But, it was pretty blatant that Bradford got hit in the face mask, and that's one of those things that it's almost inexplicable that something like that is missed.
Mike Zimmer is back after eye surgery, missed last Thursday's game, but it looks like he's going to be good to go for Jacksonville this Sunday.
Yeah, it's looking like it. He talked to the media today, and the eye patch was removed, and you could see sort of the redness and puffiness on his right eye. I mean, it was clear that, you know, he had just had a procedure done on that right eye, but he's going to tough it out. I'm guessing the team doctors and physicians gave him the okay to jump on an airplane and travel with the team. Normally with a detached retina, that's not something that you want to get on an airplane with a pressurized cabin and all that stuff. So he's a tough guy. He just wants to coach football. It's pretty remarkable what he's doing with this team so far.
That's Manny Hill, our Vikings expert, 1500 ESPN, the Twin Cities. Okay, so 6-6, 4 to go. A season that had so much promise given the start, even though you had the injuries and all that.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, do the Vikings, can they do some damage? Should they get to the postseason if they get to the playoffs? What's the mood over there? It's just kind of been just a almost bizarre season for Minnesota.
It's been really bizarre. I think this team, if they can find a way to get in, I think they've got to find a way to win at bare minimum 3 of these last 4 games. And I think if you can do that, and if you're confident going into the playoffs, with the way this defense is now playing, you know, you're going to be a tough out for any team that you match up with. So they would be a pretty dangerous team in that perspective. But they got to get it done. And it's not... The Jaguars are 2-10, but they're a young, talented team, and you can't go into this game, you know, overlooking this team, looking ahead to Indianapolis. You've got to show up. It's a road game. It's a team that's talented and young, and you got to be ready to play, and you're not going to be at full strength. So it really just starts this Sunday against Jacksonville.
You've seen Seattle and Green Bay both. What do you think? They square off 325 in Green Bay Sunday.
Well, the Packers are going to have the advantage of being at home, and, you know, they met last year at Lambeau, and the Packers were able to win. Seattle is this is their time of the year, though, when they reach their peak. It seems like every year they play their best football this time of the year, so I think it will be a tough matchup for the Packers. But Green Bay's playing better the last couple of weeks, and they're at home, so I like their chances to at least make it a game.
Wow. Lions, do they open the door for Green Bay or Minnesota? Are they going to lose at least one of the next 3?
Oh, I thought you meant Sunday against the Bears.
Well, no, not that soon.
Okay.
Although you never know. Crazier things.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions, until they actually do it and prove that they're not the same old Lions, I will forever believe that something is going to happen where they're going to take away this division somehow. It just never fails, but... You know, they're playing well, too. Matthew Stafford's been doing a nice job without Megatron. It's pretty impressive.
Raiders-Chiefs tomorrow night in the Thursday nighter. That's a dandy. Is New England the best team? Best team in the AFC?
I still give that nod to New England, even though they look like they've lost Gronk for the season. But Oakland, man, that offense, that offensive line, Derek Carr, it's pretty impressive. And they seem to do just enough on defense. It's going to be fun in Kansas City tomorrow night.
Great stuff, Manny. Really appreciate you. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Manny Hill, 1500 ESPN, the Twin Cities. Talking some Vikings. They're getting ready for Jacksonville, kind of the lull before the storm. The Lions, then they gather themselves in the final 3-game push. The Packers, in the meantime, I mean, one's playing Jacksonville. The other one's got the Bears, and here Green Bay's doing the heavy lifting with Seattle. But
yeah, it's tough.
Here it is. You know, the Vikings had a great chance to win that game last Thursday night.
Big opportunity. Some key, top-notch college players declaring for the draft. The latest today, Christian McCaffrey, the Stanford running back.
Yeah, I saw it late last night. He came through, and well, I guess it was probably noon at Stanford time, but yeah.
But yeah, that's a guy. Ever since the Packers drafted Blake Martinez and Kyle Murphy, remember having on Scott Reese, the voice of Stanford, and I was like, all right, so talk to Christian McCaffrey because he's next, because it seems like every single year, if you go to Stanford and the Packers have a need for your position, you're going to be a Green Bay Packer.
Even if they kind of don't have a need for your position, they really draft that heavy. Yeah, it could possibly be. It's funny because the Lions are talking about drafting a lead back if they can get one. Minnesota is a time to turn the page with Adrian Peterson where he's at. The Bears, is it Jordan Howard?
Jordan Howard has been a stud.
Pretty good back. Pretty
he's
good back.
Like just turning 22 also. He is a really young guy.
Where's
Taylor
guy
Swift, by the way, 22.
Yeah, could be a guy that they could build around a little bit for the cheap, too. You know, you don't have to pay a whole lot at that position. So we'll see. Hour number two is busy. Last caller standing for Event USA Player Reception Party Passes. Trevor Davis, Jerome Elliott are the guests this week. Look forward to that. That's at 5 o'clock at the Tundra Lodge on Saturday. Night before the game, always a lot of fun there. 5:30, we're going to talk a little bit about the Lions, the schedule, Packers, who's going to be the team that's going to beat Detroit and give Green Bay the gateway. And also, we've got a qualifier. We've got to decide these Marquette, Wisconsin tickets for Saturday. So you'll throw a question out there, and one of our smart listeners will have the answer and get a shot to win the goods.